Now, our study brings us to this 69th Psalm, and this 69th Psalm is a great messianic psalm. I think it's one of the greatest. I was drawn to it when I was a student in college, and from that day to this, it's been a favorite psalm of mine. So you will forgive me today if I hang around it a little longer than we stay around some others. But it has a meaning that we need to get. And the New Testament pays attention to it. It is quoted in the New Testament more than any other psalm, with the exception, of course, the 22nd Psalm is number one in the hit parade in the New Testament. And Psalm 69 is number two on the hit parade. It's quoted, for instance, several times in the Gospel of John, several times in the Epistle to the Romans, in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in the book of Acts. And very candidly, I think there are many references to it without actual quotation at all. It's called an imprecatory psalm because from verses 22 through 28, we have what is known as an imprecatory prayer. And yet, we have several quotations, about a half a dozen in that section, where it's quoted in the New Testament. Now, let's get into this psalm because, to me, it's one of the most wonderful psalms that I know anything at all. Now, this psalm, as we have put in our notes, and I give this to those that do not have our notes so you can see what you're missing, because we have here the silent years in the life of Christ. In the Gospels, from the time he was born, practically, there are one or two references. Dr. Luke gives a reference when he's 12 years of age. But we do not hear from him until he's 30 years of age. And what about that period? Well, this psalm fills that in. And it tells the life of Christ. Now, Psalm 22 dwells on the death of Christ. Psalm 69 dwells on the life of Christ. And you have those dark days in Nazareth and the dark hours on the cross. And then there is this imprecatory section, which actually is a cry for justice. Now, shall we listen to it? Because it is the psalm of his humiliation and rejection. Listen as it opens on really a rather doleful note. And it's a lily psalm, because he's the lily of the valley, as well as the rose of Sharon. And he's altogether lovely. Save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul. You notice how he suffered. Actually, the physical suffering was bad enough. But I think that the suffering of Christ in this life was almost unbearable. I'm confident that multitudes of us would have ended our life if we had gone through what he did down here. And none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Now, that's when he's on the cross. And it's only those last 3 hours on the cross, actually, in which that cross became an altar in which the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was offered, for it was then he was made sin for us. But he suffered before, but there is actually no salutary or saving value in those sufferings, other than he took the place of humiliation. And this is something that he took voluntarily. The limitation of Christ as a human being was a self-limitation. I'd like to know more than I know. I'd like to expand. We hear today so much about expanding your mind. I'd like to expand mine, but not the method that's being used. But the Lord Jesus, he came down contracted. He became a man. He humbled himself.